Thank you. Well, good morning. Happy Easter to each and every one of you all. Christ is risen, and we are so, so blessed to be gathered together, and the Spirit of Christ draws us together as the body of Christ to celebrate His resurrection. Now, you'll notice in the bulletin there, there's this wonderful ancient call to worship that Christians have been saying for generation after generation, and I want to invite you to join me in that. Now, I told the first service to pretend like it's at the height of a UK basketball game, and you got to really be like revved up for it. So you ready? Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
Oh, well, y'all are great. Woo! Yeah. We'll have to tell the first service you beat them. Let's try again. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Well, this is so good to see you all this morning. And for those that are worshiping online, I know we have several of you who are not able to be here today, but we are thinking of you and we miss you all and hope to see you very soon and glad that you can join us for Easter worship this morning. I want to invite you now to stand and to greet one another, share the peace of Christ with each other, and bless one another. Let's join together in prayer. Almighty God, we do sense your Spirit in this place, and we sense the joy of this morning together as we gather in your name. And so our prayer is, Lord, that as you speak to us, that you, Jesus, are the preacher this morning, and as you speak your gospel into our lives, that our minds and our heart and our ears will be open, and that we will receive the gift of life eternal and the good news of that with an openness and a freshness anew this morning. Lord, lift us up into heaven. And as we gather around your throne and as we cast our crowns of praise before you, Lord, give us a vision of your reality this morning. We pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you. As we continue to worship together, envisioning in our heads thousands upon thousands of people praising the risen Christ, let us join in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Be seated, and as you are seated, our precious children are invited to come forward for a message with Miss Hannah.
You do? Good morning, friends. Come on down. Happy Easter. You remember this, huh? All right. I am so happy to see all of you here on this beautiful Easter morning. What have I brought with me today? Some eggs. These eggs are called resurrection eggs, and they're going to help tell us the story of what happened between last Sunday. Remember, we were up here with pom-poms? What were we doing? We were waving, and we were celebrating because it was Palm Sunday. So we waved our palm branches, and we celebrated during our children's moment about Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, right? Well, a lot has happened since last Sunday. So let's look at our eggs and see what happens in between. Okay, I have these numbered. So we're going to start with number one. All right, you may have to open this. Because I'm like... All right, what's inside? What does this represent? Palm Sunday, what we just talked about when Jesus was riding into Jerusalem, and people were shouting. What were they shouting? Hosanna. That's exactly right. Okay. Now the story continues with number two. All right. What is inside?
There's gold.
Gold coins. What could this have to do with the story of Jesus at Easter? So Jesus had some friends. They were called his disciples. These kids are really smart, okay? They were called his disciples, but one of Jesus's disciples did something wrong. He betrayed Jesus. He told guards where Jesus was found so they could arrest him, and in return, he was paid money. Was that a sad or a happy thing to do?
Sad.
That was sad. All right. Moving on. Number three. A cloth. There was a last dinner, yes? And what did Jesus do?
He cleaned people's feet.
You guys could just tell the story. Yeah, Jesus was with his disciples, and he decided to wash their feet. Why would he do that? That seems like a dirty job. Because he loved them. That's exactly right. That was a part of the Last Supper. Okay, let's see. We got to root around a little bit and find number four. All right. What does number four have in it? Okay, we're talking about the Last Supper.
That is wine.
That is wine, okay. Yep, we've got... It's the pastor's daughter. We've got the wine, we've got the juice and the bread here. Jesus was gathered with his disciples, and they drank of the juice and they ate of the bread together, and Jesus said, yes, that this bread is like my body that's going to be broken for you. And this juice or this wine is like the blood of mine that's going to be shed for you. And that was a special moment with Jesus and his disciples. All right. Going with number five. Can you open it? Oh, sit down for a second, okay? So we can show you what's inside. Oh, a flower. So Jesus went to a garden. Does anybody know the name of the garden? This is the tough one.
Gethsemane.
Gethsemane. Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. He was feeling a little scared of what was going to happen, so Jesus went to the garden to pray to God the Father. Number five. What is that? Five. All right, number six. All right, thank you. All right. I told you that one of Jesus' disciples betrayed him.
He tied him onto the cross.
And so guards came to arrest Jesus.
And tied him on the cross.
And they, well, so far, they might have just used this to tie his hands to arrest him. Okay? Yeah. All right, let's see what's next. This is number seven. Oh, this is very tiny and it's a little bit sharp. Does anybody know what that is?
Crown.
The crown of thorns. What does that have to do with the story of Jesus at Easter?
With him dying on the cross.
Where did they put it?
On his head.
Yes, Jesus. The guards, they put a crown of thorns on top of Jesus' head. Do you think that felt good?
No.
No, I don't think. It probably hurt a lot. All right. Number eight. Oh, we know what this means. What is this, friends?
He died
on the cross. Jesus was hung on the cross, and Jesus died. And it was sad. It was a sad day. But the story's not over, right? Let's see what's next. Okay, this is a spear. Okay? When Jesus was on the cross, a spear was put into Jesus' side. Do you think that felt good or bad?
Bad.
It felt really bad. Jesus was suffering. All right, only three left. This is number 10. Once Jesus died, they wrapped up his body with cloth. That's what they did when people died. They wrapped their bodies up with cloth. People were sad that Jesus had died. All right, two left. I bet you guys are going to know what's in this one. Oh. It's not bread, it's a rock. What does a rock have to do with the story after Jesus died? Maddie? Right, they put Jesus' body in a tomb, and what did they roll in front of it? A big rock. Okay, this is the last egg. It's very special. Let's see what happened after Jesus' body was put in the tomb. What? Did you take out what was inside? What's inside?
Nothing.
Well, I didn't want to mess up the message. Why is there nothing in
nothing
here?
Inside.
When we opened the tomb, there was nothing inside? That is the miracle of Easter, that Jesus died on the cross. And 3 days later, when his friends came to check on his body, Jesus was gone because Jesus defeated death and Jesus is alive. He rose from the grave. That is it. We are ready for Easter. So thank you for being here this Easter, and I hope that you will remember the new life that Jesus offers us because Jesus conquered death and Jesus is alive. Let's pray. God, thank you for sending your son Jesus into the world, for the miracles that Jesus did on earth, and for the great miracle of the resurrection. God, we love you, and we pray that we will share this resurrection news every day. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's go upstairs.
As we come to our time of confession on this Easter morning, we are reminded that we have such good hope. Indeed, the tomb is empty. Jesus is risen, and our sins no longer have hold or power over us in light of what Christ has done. In that spirit of freedom, let us pray this prayer of confession together. O God, on this holy morning, we acknowledge the inadequacy of our resurrection faith. Where we have not perceived the breaking forth of your light, forgive us. Where we have been slow to believe the promises of your prophets, have mercy upon us.
where we have viewed one another from a human point of view, grant us the peace of our risen Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, hear this wonderful news. Love's redeeming work is done. Christ is risen and has conquered sin and death. By the gracious gift of the resurrection, all things are made new. Alleluia. The Lord be with you.
And
let us pray. Lord Jesus, you are the resurrection and the life. On this great day of celebration, we stand in awe of your victory. Your resurrection proves that no principality or power, no empire or Caesar, no violence or sickness has the final word on the human experience. Not even death has the final word, for you have prevailed over all. Yet, even as we marvel at your victory, Lord, we equally are awestruck by the means of your victory, that you have triumphed over all through the cross. In your mercy and your willingness to identify with your people in all things, you entered even into the darkest of human experiences, an unjust death at the hands of an oppressive empire. In humbling yourself even to this, you have revealed to us the depths of your love, your humility, your mercy, and every other aspect of your character. Through the cross, you have defined love for us and shown us that love is who you are at your very core and your very essence. And in your resurrection, you show us once and for all that love indeed triumphs over hate, that life triumphs over death, and that your way surpasses all others. And in this victory, you give us hope. Though we face many challenges, though we live in difficult times, we know that these things too shall pass. And we trust that you have the final word on our behalf, and that all will be well. On this day, when we are filled with hope, we pray that you give us the courage to carry that hope into the world that needs it, through both actions and words. Lead us as your church into your mission to bring good news and relief to the poor, sight to the blind, and release to the captives. Through your Holy Spirit, unite us as you have throughout history in this mission of resurrection life in our church here in Lexington, Kentucky, and with churches around the world. Now, we turn our attention to those churches around the world, of every nation and tongue, of every denomination and tradition, as we join together in this Easter celebration, praying as you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I would now like to invite our ushers to come forward to receive our tithes and offerings.
Almighty God, you have heard the offering of our voices and our hearts as we sing to you in worship and in praise and in thanksgiving. Lord, we offer these to you as a gift. We offer our lives to you as well, sacrificially, as you have offered yours sacrificially to us. And Lord, we give to you our treasure, that you might bless it and us as we share the Easter gospel throughout all of the world. This we pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated.
Scripture reading comes from Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 10. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the woman. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you're looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you." The woman ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with joy. And they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Well, brothers and sisters, I think probably all of us have experienced confusion or maybe a little bit of disorientation from time to time in our life. It's not the best feeling in the world, and sometimes it can be a little bit silly, but regardless to say, we experience them, do we not? I'm reminded of some of the times in my life. I wonder if you've done this the same. Now, you don't have to admit to it. I'll let you all out on that one, but you're making a phone call on your cell phone, all right, your iPhone or your Android, whatever your choice is, and you finish the call, and then you kind of drop your hand by your side, and you go off to the next thing, and then you realize, oh, I need to text somebody too. And then you say, well, where did I put my phone? And you go all over the place, and you're looking for it, and you're looking on the counter, and you're looking, where did I put it? Where did I go? And then about 30 seconds later, you realize it's in your hand. And I may have done that a time or two. or maybe, you know, have you ever driven to work, and it's that same route that you go all the time, and you're driving down New Circle Road, and, you know, you're just doing your thing, and you get to the end of your exit, and you realize, how did I get here? And did I hit anybody along the way? I mean, what happened between my house and the exit? I don't know. Or even, this is the one that's probably the most alarming, is as you're out traveling, you're either at work or you're on vacation, and you're in your Vrbo or your B&B or your hotel, whatever it is, and you wake up in the middle of the night, and you still think that you're home mentally. And you start looking around the room, and it's like, this isn't my house. Where am I? And you're all disoriented, and you're trying to figure it out, and then it hits you. You kind of orient yourself again. But in those moments, oh, isn't it something? It's very jarring. Well, I have to tell you, Easter morning was really quite jarring, really quite disorienting, as a matter of fact. Now think about all of the things that the Gospel of Matthew is bringing to the forefront for us to understand and to examine this morning. It really is all about just this awe-inspiring power of heaven and earth is being brought to the forefront at Easter morning to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And one of the things that Matthew notes about it is that there's this earthquake. In the language that the New Testament was written in, it calls it a shaker. And it really shook them up really, really good. There's this earthquake, and in and of itself, that is rather disorienting, I think. But then it doesn't end there. We get this little bit of a reminder of Jesus' transfiguration. There's this nod to that, because the angels are described as this flowing white, bright beings that are in front of the people. But Matthew even adds an extra little zinger to it, and he says that they shine like lightning. Whew! I mean, that's some power. I mean, kapow. And then, of course, my favorite part is the guards. Big Roman guard, you know, and they faint. They just faint. And they're done, and they're over with. They faint like they're dead on the ground. But we get this sense, do we not, from this very, very wonderful, powerful passage, that God is peeling back the veil of reality. And we get to see the majesty of heaven and earth overlapping one another. It's the reality of the way it is all of the time, but there's something very spectacular about this morning of all mornings, because the veil is just literally torn apart and we get to see. It's almost like peeling an onion. And you start working on that onion, and it's before you start crying, right? You get the skin off, and it's that really thin onion skin, and then you kind of dig in your thumbs, and you start peeling back a layer, and then another layer, and that's when you start really crying. And you get down deeper and deeper and deeper into the heart of the matter, and that's what Jesus is doing. He is opening up all of these beautiful layers of this vision of heaven and earth that are overlapped, and we get to see the realities that so often we just don't get a chance to see with our own eyes. It's fantastic. It's beautiful. It's wondrous. How wondrous? Well, it's a little bit like an old house. Now, maybe you have had grandparents in your life that had a big old house that was built long ago, and it was really fun to explore. If not, maybe your parents had friends that had a big house. But one of the things about big, whole, old houses are there's lots of places where you can go and start exploring, looking around, especially when you're a kid, like some of our kids down here. They're smart enough to know that you need to go explore, right? And find all of the different nooks and crannies and all of the places. Now, when I was a kid, I did that too. And my mother's here today, and so I'm telling on myself. I'm just wanting to let you know. But we were up at my grandmother's house in New Jersey one time, and they had this great big long ranch house. And oh, there were all kinds of places to look and explore. I loved to go down into the basement when nobody was looking and disappear for a while, because my uncle had this great big train set down there, and it was huge. I mean, it probably took up a third of the sanctuary. I mean, it was that big. It was huge. And there were all of these Lionel trains everywhere, on the track and on the walls, things that he never used because they were collectible. And I loved to just sit and look. Now, I wasn't allowed to touch. May have touched a little bit. And just appreciated it, enjoyed it. And there was this other place in her house in the basement that was a cellar, and you opened it up, and, you know, it smelled like mold. You know, it's that dirty dirt smell with a little bit of mold, and they kept all of their canned goods down in there. That's back when you canned in glass jars and everything. I guess we still do that. But here's the thing. There was this one particular time, and I was pretty young, and there was this one room in the house. It was my uncle's bedroom, and it was darker because it had wood paneling all around, and it was big, thick, half-inch wood paneling. I mean, it's not the real thin stuff that we had in the 70s and 80s. You know, it was big, thick stuff, and I didn't like to go in there a lot of the times. It scared me a little bit, but I went in there this one day because I was just feeling a bit like an explorer, and I noticed something. There was this little thin crack in the wall, and I pushed on it a little bit, and it moved. And I was like, hallelujah, I found something good. And so I pushed on it and peeled it open, and the light came on all by itself. And I was like, oh, that's kind of spooky. But went on in, you know. Years later, I found out I had one of those little switches inside of the door, you know, and it just... But in the moment, boy, it was awesome. And I went in and I started exploring, and really it was just nothing but a bunch of things that were stored away. There were old time magazines and old records and things like that. But to a child, oh my gosh, I was in heaven, and I was looking all over the place and having a big old time. It was this room underneath of the stairs. So finally, I went out and screamed, Mom, I found something, and I got to show you. And I grabbed her hand, and I started pulling her down the hallway. And my grandmother was not one to like surprises all that much. And she was like, oh, come, John, you know. And anyway, no, you got to see. And I brought her into the bedroom, and I showed her this closet. And she said, John, it's just a closet. But it's new. I mean, did you know about this? I didn't know about this. Yes, I knew about it. We designed it when we built the house. And I was like, oh, I thought I found something new and awesome and cool. Well, there was the attic too, but that's another story for another day. But God's reality that we celebrate this morning on Easter is a lot like your grandparents' house that you explored in. And you thought you knew all of the different places and all of the nooks and crannies. And then on Easter Sunday, all of a sudden, you find a crack in the wall and you open up the door and you discover with great amazement that there's more to be found in the kingdom of heaven in this great big house of God. And you're looking, whoa, what's going on here? It's a whole new thing. It's a whole new era. How exciting. And God says, you know, it's always been there. It's always been there. It was designed to be this way. And God is unveiling that part of God's kingdom to us on Easter Sunday. Now, it happened 2,000 years ago, but are we not continually amazed and kind of shaken to the core, and we are disoriented by the wonder of the good news that death is defeated, that something new is dawning on the horizon. The dawn is really quite a powerful experience. Have you all ever watched the sun come up? Yeah? Now, we're really lucky here in Kentucky, especially here in Lexington, just a little over an hour from here, we have this great national park called Red River Gorge. And maybe you like to hike in it a little bit and get out your hiking sticks and off you go, bring your lunch, and you have a lot of fun. But if you ever get to go camping, or glamping, you get to see all kinds of fantastic things. I have a couple of friends, and we like to go out to Red River Gorge every once in a while, and we like to go out and pack out big old bags, you know, on our back. We go out and we find a place and we set up our camp, and they still sleep in tents, not me. I'm not sleeping on the ground anymore. I bring a hammock. But one of the things that I enjoy doing after I have sat at the campfire at night and we eat till we're absolutely just stuffed and uncomfortable, and we talk a little bit, and then we go back to our own little place and we fall asleep. But I always like to set my watch to wake me up before the dawn comes. And here I am, I'm in my hammock. And it's really amazing, isn't it, how the dawn comes? It's just this little itty-bitty purpley-orange hue right on the horizon. And then it grows a little bit more, and a little bit more, and a little bit more. And then all of a sudden, the sky just streaks with blue above you, and you know the dawn has come. Now, the folks that attend here regularly know that I am quite the geek, especially around science. And I have to say, can you imagine the moonrise that Artemis II is experiencing right now? They're almost to the moon. And how majestic on an Easter Sunday it must be to witness that rise in the windows of their craft. Back here on Earth, though, you know, the Earth is always spinning around and around and around and around. Somewhere on the Earth, there's always a dawning. It's always happening all of the time. And the fingers of light are always reaching out from the distant horizon to hit our eyeballs and wake us up in the morning and tell us that the night has ended and more light is coming. Earthquakes, angels of lightning, even in other Gospels, there's these stories about the righteous dead who are in Christ. They get up out of their graves and they start walking around Jerusalem. You talk about a new world, a new era, a new kind of life. Wow. But that's what Matthew is trying to tell us and remind us. A new era has dawned. 2,000 years ago, a new era has dawned for the people of Christ, which includes us today. The angel rolls away the stone, but does something else very powerfully as well. Rolls away the old way of our thinking that always is bent toward death. It always is bent toward violence. It always is bent toward an end. Always is bent toward power. And the angel changes that in our mind. But this kind of new era news can be very disorienting, can't it? Maybe we carry it around like our phone and we look for a while before we understand where it is and find it. But, you know, our normal everyday life we experience, you know, we don't hear about people rising from the dead. And so we come to church on Easter morning, maybe, and there's this lingering voice in the back of our head, and we're just saying, well, how could it be real? How could it be? How could it be true? I mean, these things don't happen. That disorienting voice. And yet there's something down deep in all of us, I think, that stirs when we hear about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And not only do we hope that it's true, but we know it as well. We realize, we know deep inside that a new era has begun long ago and that we're part of it. And all of this fantastic stuff that Matthew is talking about and the interactions with Jesus and his disciples and the women, it's all part of telling the story of the breaking of the dawn of that new era. And it gives us hope. Hope. Because everything is different now. Everything is different. Since one has been raised from the dead, just like the dawn, the rest of us are not far behind. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want to invite you to take voice to what you have heard from the Gospel of Matthew and as Jesus has preached to your hearts today. And let's stand and sing our affirmation to Jesus. This is the day of resurrection. Brothers and sisters, I pray that as you go from this place, that you will sense, you will experience, you will feel this new era in which we live in, that Christ is inaugurated. And that as you go from this place, the dawning of the new era, the new life, the new world will dwell deeply and richly in you and empower you to have hope in a world that often has little hope, to share peace in a world that has little peace. For you are the ambassadors of God, the ambassadors of truth. This is my prayer, and I pray it on you and above you and around you. Amen. And I invite you to remain standing for a little bit of an extra treat.